As you can see up there, we're reading from 2 Timothy 3, and it's on page 964. But first, let's pray. Lord, as we hold this book in our hands, we might just be seeing black words on a white page. But we pray that as we read them, your Spirit will make them words of life. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
I can hear you speak to us each time we open it up. And we pray this morning, as we consider this topic of a life built on God's Word, that you would teach us from your Word, that you would show us the value of your Word in our lives, and that you would help us to apply this as we seek to integrate your Word into our daily routine. And we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I reckon Bible reading is a bit like trying to improve our health. Maybe it's losing weight or trying to get fit, or in my case, thanks to my Sri Lankan genes, trying to put on a bit of weight. And when we try and improve our health, we can often start out with the best of intentions. We know it's important. We know that the long-term benefits, but it can be so hard to change those daily habits. We try new fads and they work well for a while, but it's difficult to sustain it. We get on a roll, but then we get stuck in a rut and it's hard to get back on track again. And so often, by comparing ourselves to other people, we feel guilty and don't want to be too open about our progress for fear of judgment. And there's no quick fix for improving our health. It takes discipline in terms of our food and our exercise habits. And the same goes for Bible reading. Bible reading is the food and the exercise for our spiritual health. So this morning, I want us to think about the place of the Bible in our lives. And I hope as we consider this topic, that so often it can produce guilt, but I'm aiming this morning that we wouldn't end up walking out of here feeling really guilty about how much we don't read the Bible, but rather that we'd see from this part of the Bible the great blessings that God wants to pour out on us as we integrate his word into our lives. We want to focus this morning on the positive benefits of including the Bible in our lives. This passage from 2 Timothy really deals with that question, and so I want to ask this morning, why is the Bible so important to the Christian life? Why is the Bible so important to the Christian life? I've got two main points, and then I want to finish with some practical tips of how we can work this into our lives. But before we get to those points, I want to just give you a bit of background about the book of 2 Timothy. Now, when I say a book, it's actually more of a letter. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to his younger protege, Timothy. And at this stage in the Apostle Paul's life, he has been thrown into prison for his faith. He's been put into prison, and it seems from where the letter ends up that he's facing imminent execution for his faith. And so as Paul prepares to leave this world, he's really keen to make sure the gospel is in safe hands, that it's passed on to the next generation, and he's charging Timothy with the task to make sure that that happens. And now for us, we're not Timothy, but we get to eavesdrop in on this conversation between Paul and Timothy and learn some things from the advice that Paul gives to Timothy. Advice about how we can live well for Christ, just as he was calling Timothy to do. And we see this idea of Paul's life being an example as we look at the start of our passage, verses 10 and 11. Paul says to Timothy, "You know about my teaching, about my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, and all the different things that have happened to me around the place." And if there's one obvious lesson that emerges from Paul's life, as you look at all these different aspects, it's that it wasn't an easy life. In fact, his lesson there in verse 12 is one that could very easily be drawn from even his current situation, that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, the Christian life is hard for everyone. We know that at this very time, there are Christians being persecuted across the world to far greater levels than we can even imagine here in Australia. And they're suffering greatly for their faith. But to some extent, all of us will find ourselves out of step with our world if we're serious about following Jesus. We'll find ourselves out of step with our friends and our family. We'll find ourselves making decisions that are different to the kind of things they would decide to do. And this is the kind of thing I think that Paul would have in mind for us in verse 12, that everyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The Christian life is going to be a difficult life. And so if this is what we should expect from life following Jesus, if we know it's not going to be easy, then how can we prepare for that kind of life? How can we equip ourselves for the challenges that lie ahead? Well, in the key verses I want to focus on this morning, from verse 14 in this passage onwards, we see that the Bible, God's Word, is the key to equipping us for that kind of life. If we want to flourish in our walk with Christ, if we want to be able to withstand all the ups and downs we'll face in life, then the Word of God must be central for us. So my first point as to why the Bible is so important for us is that the Bible is the foundation for spiritual wisdom. The Bible is the foundation for spiritual wisdom. And we see this in verses 14 and 15. Have a look at those with me now. Paul says to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Paul says, "I've spoken about my life in verses 10 and 11, but as for you, Timothy, here's what you need to do. You need to continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." Now, it seems here that Paul has taught the fundamentals of the Christian faith to Timothy, but also that Timothy has learned these from infancy, so from when he was a young child. In fact, earlier on in the letter, we read that Timothy's mother and his grandmother were both believers, and so presumably they taught him the basics of the Christian faith. They taught him the scriptures, and they taught him why Jesus needed to come. And I guess for many of us, this is certainly my experience, we might have grown up in Christian homes. We've had family members, parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles, teach us about Jesus. And that's a fantastic gift from God. But like Timothy, we need to be encouraged to continue growing in the knowledge of the scriptures, in those things that we've been taught from infancy. And we need to not be content with where we're at with Christ, but to keep wanting to know him more deeply through his word. So the reason why the scriptures are so valuable is there in verse 15. You've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. They're able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I think when Paul speaks about the scriptures here, he particularly has in mind the Old Testament. As he wrote this letter, the New Testament is still in the process of being written. And I think for us, if we see that Paul's considering the Old Testament here, it's a challenge to make sure we don't forget the place of the Old Testament in our own lives and in our preaching, in our reading of God's Word. It was great to hear in the kids' talk just before of how those stories of Abraham and David and those stories from the Old Testament fit into God's plan. Because it's as we understand this plan of salvation that God has worked throughout history that we see our own place within that story. So if you're looking for something at the moment to read and study in your own life, why not consider reading a book of the Old Testament that you haven't looked at for a while or maybe you've never read? Maybe something a bit obscure like a Leviticus or Malachi or something like that. It's not always easy to read those kind of books, but there can be great benefit in discovering more of God's plan throughout history and how Christ and therefore us fitted into that plan. But I reckon for us, we have a much wider array of scriptures available to us than just the Old Testament, and we have it written down, available to us in our own language, that we can pick up anywhere, anytime, and read of what God has done for us. This is an amazing blessing. And so these verses, I think, give us great motivation, not just to have these words sitting on our shelf, but to actually use them and have them be speaking words of truth into our lives each day. As we study the Bible, we grow in spiritual wisdom. We become wise for salvation in Christ. And I think this is not just about taking that first step of putting our faith in Jesus, as much as the Bible does that for us and shows us how we can do that. But like for Timothy, it was also about continuing to walk with Christ, about continuing to work out that salvation and see what it looks like to follow Jesus in our daily choices and actions. As we search the scriptures to understand God's amazing plan of salvation in Christ, we start to see our place within that story and it orients our lives. And as I was thinking about orientation, it reminded me of one of my favourite technological inventions in recent times, and that's the GPS, the GPS navigation systems. Now, I have one of these on my phone, and even as we've been down here in Hobart, it's been really helpful in navigating our way through streets that we didn't know. And just generally in our lives, I think it saved a lot of unnecessary arguments in our household as we've just punched in the GPS, the place where we want to go, and it does it all for us. See, back in the old days when you had to rely on the map, it was much more complicated. You had to work out exactly where you were, exactly where you wanted to go on the map, the direction you were facing, and the quickest path to get there. But now the GPS does all of that for us, and so we just plug it in and we're on our way. And even when we start to stray off track, it reroutes us and gets us back on the right path. Now, the GPS has revolutionized geographic orientation when we travel, and I reckon the Bible can do the same for us spiritually. As we read it, God orients our minds and our hearts to start to see things from His perspective. We gain spiritual wisdom that enables us to negotiate life in the way He designed it to be lived. And we all need this kind of spiritual wisdom. For some of us, we might be making big choices in life at the moment. Maybe big decisions about where we'll live or our job or our career or relationships. For Heather and I, that's the kind of place we're at the moment as we think about where we do life and ministry. And the Bible is a great help to us in those times as we make big decisions. It gives us God's wisdom, so we make those decisions from His perspective. But it's not just the big decisions. Every day we're called to make choices about following Jesus, where we'll spend our money, how we'll use our time, how to handle difficult situations in our work or our relationships. And the Bible is our GPS to guide us down God's path in relation to those things. It makes us wise for living out that salvation in Christ in everyday life. Life as a Christian won't be easy, but a rich knowledge of the Scriptures will give us that spiritual wisdom we need to live well for Christ. The Bible is the foundation for spiritual wisdom. That's the first reason why we see in this passage it's so important for our lives. My second point is that the Bible is the foundation for righteous living. And we see this in verses 16 and 17. Now, whenever we speak about the idea of righteous living or holiness, we need to put that in the context of grace, of God's grace to us in the Lord Jesus. And grace has been a massive theme in the book of 2 Timothy so far. In fact, right back at the beginning, when Paul is summarizing for Timothy what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about, what that good news is of what he's done for us. And he says in chapter 1, verse 9, that we're saved because of God's own purpose and grace, not because of anything we've done, God's own purpose and grace. We're saved in this way, but we also read in those verses that he saved us in order that we might live out a holy life. And that's what he has called us to now as believers in Jesus. And in that context of seeing God's grace for us, we need to know that the Bible is what equips us to live out that kind of life which honours Jesus. Verse 16, back in chapter 3, it begins by saying, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. That means that every time we open up these pages of Scripture and listen to the words which are written for us here, we're hearing God speak to us. We're hearing his own words breathed out for us, for our instruction. And we see in the second half of the verse the very purpose for which he has breathed out these words for us. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I don't know if you've ever played a game of lawn bowls before. Back in Sydney, I think a lot of the bowling clubs are in a bit of financial strife, and so they're trying to get heaps of people to come and do bowling there on the weekends. So I've gone down a few times with some mates, and they have what's called barefoot bowls, where you take off your shoes, as the name suggests, and you get to play bowls with a few mates. It's lots of fun. And when I was thinking about lawn bowls, I thought about this kind of idea of the lawn bowls. They don't travel straight, so they've got a certain bias or weight in them, and they're always going a certain direction towards that weight. So when you aim, you have to account for that kind of bias in the lawn bowl. I think our lives as believers can be a little bit like that. There's a great old hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," and there's a line in there which I think really accurately diagnoses what goes on in our hearts. The writer says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That's us, right? We have that tendency all the time away from God, towards sin and worldliness, to live life our own way. And as we have that tendency, that being prone to live our own way, we need God's word to correct us. It is God's chosen instrument to keep us on course. I don't know what your particular struggles are with sin. I know what some of mine are. And I think the Bible is God's instrument to keep us on track like that. It's almost like as we allow ourselves to be exposed to God's word, that he walks alongside us as if we're the lawn bowl, and every time we're sort of straying off direction, he taps us back on course using his word. Or sometimes we need a bit of a kick if we're really going astray. And that's what the Bible can do for us. God uses his word to keep us on target. There's no command about how regularly we should read the Bible, but I think given, certainly for me, this struggle with sin and worldliness is a daily thing, it's so helpful if we can find ways to integrate the Bible into our daily routine. Every day we face choices about how we'll live, battles with sin, and Scripture is the thing that can keep us on task. When we allow God's Word to have this kind of effect on us, verse 16 reminds us that God teaches us. That's the first thing it says he does. Teaches us about himself, about his plans for the world. It also says there that it's useful for rebuking. God rebukes us for our sin. He corrects us and puts us on the right path, realigns our perspective to see things from his way. And he uses his word to train us into a new pattern of righteous living. I remember I once did a half marathon. I love running, and I hadn't trained enough for this half marathon. I'd underdone my training, and I can tell you it was one of the most painful runs I've ever done in my life. I got to about the 15K mark, and it was just a struggle from there on in. And I think it's a reminder here that we can't shortcut our training. We can't shortcut our training for righteousness, because God's word is the thing he's given us to prepare us for what lies ahead in the Christian life. So as we let God's word play its role in our lives, the result we see there at the end of verse 16, this is what it will look like as it has its way in our lives, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is, our lives will start to look like our Lord Jesus. We're saved by his grace, but over time he will transform us so our lives are like his, full of love and good works and generosity to others. And as we do this, as we meditate on God's word, the Spirit will transform us in this kind of way. So let's pray. Let's pray that this would happen as we spend time in God's word, and let's seek to look for every opportunity to expose ourselves to it. Private reading, Bible study, here at church, maybe listening in some kind of audio reading of God's word. The Bible is God's chosen instrument for our transformation. It is the foundation for righteous living. You know, as Paul reaches the end of his life, I think he's able to say something pretty amazing at the end of this letter in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says at the end of verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, that the time for my departure is near. He's preparing to die. And then he says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be able to say at the end of our lives? That we've fought the good fight like this, we've lived out our faith, and now we have to look forward to the eternal reward, being in the presence of Jesus for all eternity. And we've lived well for Christ. We've lived the way that he called us to live. And that's the kind of life, one like Paul's, full of faithfulness and obedience and perseverance. That's the kind of life that God's word can equip us for. If we want to live well for Christ, this book that God has given to us is a key to doing that, the key to the Spirit's work in our hearts. So we've seen this morning why it is that the Bible is so important to the Christian life. Firstly, because it's the foundation for spiritual wisdom. And secondly, because it's the foundation for righteous living. And I think seeing these positive benefits, seeing how helpful the Bible can be for us, I want to finish now by focusing on just practically, how can we actually do this? How can we include the Bible into our lives more? And my main real practical tip is to have some sort of a plan, to have a plan about when you will read your Bible, and to have a plan about what kind of things you will read. Timing is, it's really with timing, the when question. It's about whatever works for you. So whether it's on the bus, on the way to work, or over breakfast or lunch, you might not think you have enough time. We often don't. But think about all the other less important things that we manage to squeeze into our week. I was challenged when I was preparing this sermon about how often I fill my own mind and heart with voices that are so much less consequential and significant than God's voice. I find myself looking at my Facebook news feed or the online news and letting those things inform me, as interesting as they may be. God's voice is so much more valuable to be listening to. So that's a when. It doesn't really matter when, whatever works for you. In terms of what, I think having some kind of plan of what to read is so helpful. And it could just be a matter of writing down a list of books that you'd like to work through slowly. And you don't set a particular time to that. You just go through at your own pace. And maybe I've given a list of resources in today's bulletin. maybe some of the commentaries I suggest there could be helpful as you really seek to dwell on just one or two books over the course of a year and really take in every verse and think about what it means for you. But there are also lots of other great resources out there that I've found particularly helpful in my own Bible reading. I've mentioned a lot of them on that sheet, but just a few I want to make mention of now. Firstly, there's one called For the Love of God by Don Carson, and it takes you through the Bible in a year. It takes you through all the books, and I think you get the New Testament twice as well, and he gives you a one-page commentary to go with that to kind of think about what it might mean for your life. That's quite a... I find that one takes me quite a long time, so if you're a fast reader, that might be really helpful for you. Another thing that's great, another resource, is a website called BibleGateway.com. And when you go on there, you can find, if you go to the link for Bible plans or Bible reading plans, there's about 20 or 30 different plans you can choose from about how you'd like to work through the Bible in a year or 2 years or half a year. And you can just tailor that to whatever works for you. And you can even ask them to email you the readings every day so you get them straight to your inbox. The next thing is for those who are maybe not big readers, but who love listening. And maybe you have a long commute in the car to work and you just want to listen in the car to audio readings of the Bible. DailyAudioBible.com has an app for your phone, or you can have it just on the internet, download things. And that's a great help if you like audio options. And finally, I want to mention the Matthias Media Daily Reading Bible. It's a pretty simple thing. It has all the readings within a little book, and there's, I think, about 90 readings in each book. And you get the reading, and then you get about three or four questions and a prayer point. It takes about 15 minutes. I've used that in the past and found it really, really helpful. Those are just a few things. I think the key thing I want to say about Bible reading plans, though, is don't get too disheartened when you get behind. I've fallen into the trap a lot of times before where I start on a plan and I find myself 3 or 4 or 5 days behind, and I get disheartened and it completely goes astray. It's not law, it's just something there to help us to include the Bible in our lives. So if you get behind, just pick it back up where you started again and just remember it's supposed to be something by grace that we delight in, not a law for us. And of course, it doesn't have to be complicated. Since having Jasmine, I've loved reading kids' Bible stories with Jasmine. And I think she's only 8 months old. I think I'm probably right in saying that I understand more of it than she does at this stage. And I'm finding I'm learning a lot as just God's truths are simplified in ways that are really clear for my mind to understand. And one final tip, I think, is just to remember that we seek to know God as a community. And we want to encourage one another in this task of reading his word. So maybe after today, you've thought, oh, I need to get back on track with my Bible reading. And why not tell a friend or a spouse or a brother or sister that what your new plan is and get them to ask you about it in a few weeks' time and keep you accountable to that. That could be a really helpful way as we pray for one another and help one another in that regard. So as we consider the place of the Bible in our lives this week, I want to finish by sharing a quote about Bible reading from a guy by the name of George Mueller, who was a Christian man from the 1800s, and he established orphanages all across England. He did some mighty things in the name of Christ. He was an amazing man. But here's what he had to say about the place of Bible reading in his own life. He said, "The first thing I did, after having asked in a few words the Lord's blessing upon his precious word, was to begin to meditate on the word of God, searching as it were into every verse to get blessing out of it. Not for the sake of public ministry of the word, not for the sake of preaching upon what I had meditated upon, but for the sake of obtaining food for my own soul. How different when the soul is refreshed and made happy early in the morning from what it is when without spiritual preparation, the service, the trials, and the temptations of the day come upon one." Paul says to us, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May God help us all to find similar blessing as George Mueller as we read our Bibles each day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of your word, and we ask for the help of your spirit as we seek to integrate it into our lives. We pray you'd help us to all develop routines where we can read your word or listen to it and think about what it means for our daily situations. Father, help change us through your word. Transform us by your Holy Spirit, that we would live lives of holiness that reflect that of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And help use your word to grow us in wisdom so that we're equipped to live in ways which honour you. And we ask all this for the sake of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.